the one now that's going to hold down the fort. That's the presence of Almighty God. And you've seen it, and you may have even experienced it, that all of a sudden you were dealing with something. Maybe it was alcoholism. Maybe it was pornography. Maybe it was just, you know, promiscuity. You were dealing with it, but then you got, you know, control of it. You got on top of it. It was no longer an issue. And then all of a sudden, a few years later, it showed back up. What's going on? Empty. Empty. And see, for believers in particular, not only are we to be filled with the presence of God, but now we got to be filled with revelation of his word. This is what continues to help us to renew our minds, praise God. Matter of fact, here, I'm going to just take my laptop. Thank you so much. Got it. Renewing your mind becomes absolutely critical. It says now, let's finish. So it returns and finds its former home empty, swept, and in order. Then the spirit finds seven other spirits more evil than itself. And they all enter the person and live there. And so that, watch this, that person is worse off than before. That will be the experience of this evil generation. Oh, boy. It says that will be the experience of this evil generation. Wow. That if we don't fill up properly, if we don't allow the Spirit of God to rule properly, then things just simply go from bad to worse. And whether we realize it or not, we pass it on to the next generation. Got to overcome these issues. We have to be intentional to break things and to break these spirits. 2 Timothy chapter 1, here's a positive example of how a generational influence can be good. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, it says, I remember your genuine faith, for you share the faith that first fueled your grandmother Lois and your mother. Huh. Paul's writing to Timothy. He says, now I remember your genuine faith. He says, it's a faith that didn't even start with you. It started with your grandmother, and then she passed it on to her daughter, and now she passed it on now to you, her son. There's a legacy of faith now that gets instilled because someone in the family made a decision. I will believe God. I will believe God. Lois makes that decision. I will believe God. Interesting, and the sad, you know, commentary here is that Timothy, yes, he got his faith from his mom. Didn't say he got it from his dad. Didn't say he got it from his mom and dad. So that tells you he's in an environment that's competing for his spirit. But in that environment that's competing for his spirit, the influence of faith from his mother won him over. And now he becomes, you know, a tremendous servant in the kingdom of God, pastoring a church. Watch this, pastoring Jesus' mother at one point. That would be interesting, huh? You up preaching and Jesus' mama looking at you. Like, you don't measure up to my son. We're all created to be just like him. So let me give you four things. Can you take four? Okay, maybe not. Let me give you four things. Can you take four?
Yes.
All right. Of how to leave a Christ-like inheritance in your family. How to leave a Christ-like inheritance in your family. Number one, you got to identify the issues. You got to identify the issues. You can't act like it's not there. You can't. I'll speak for myself. There would be sexual temptations as a teenager, so on and so forth, all this kind of stuff. And I'd just be like, okay, I'm trying to do what God says, et cetera, et cetera. And I found as I became an adult, you know, things would still be there. And I'm endeavoring to do, you know, what God says. But then I started kind of doing some analyzation of, just quite frankly, so, you know, family. And I saw some things. And I saw, you know, let me kind of clarify this. Not in my immediate family, but I started looking wide. And I saw that it was a pretty common struggle. It's just like, huh. The Old Testament refers to something, King James Version calls it familiar spirits. There are spiritual forces that are familiar with your family line. They understand the things that your family struggles with and plays on that to pull you from Christ. Somebody here can attest to the fact that there's some areas in your life that are just like hard for you. And you look at somebody else and it seems like it's just so easy. Have you ever been in that kind of situation? To the point that if you don't watch it, it will make you ask yourself, is something wrong with me? You got to be careful. You got to be careful because a lot of times what's going on, there's something that's gotten attached to the family. And someone can make a decision now to cast that thing out, but if we don't keep the family field, oh, it's going to try to come back. And when it comes back, it always comes back worse than when it left. So you got to identify the issue. That's first and foremost. Secondly, let me give you this. Well, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Let's read that verse. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life has gone, a new life has begun. Now, let me just check here by a show of hands, and I want to ask for folks that are on YouTube or Facebook, you know, online, app, whatever the case too, if you do this as well. If you belong to Christ, would you raise your hand? Everybody look around, look around, look around. We got a whole bunch of folks, We belong to Christ. Word of God here says, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. Say, my old life is gone. A new life has begun. That old stuff is gone. The power of it to control you is gone. So do not continue to give into it. So the second point here, if we're going to leave an inheritance, watch this. All of us want to leave a godly inheritance, a Christ-like inheritance to our children. All of us do. All of us. I got four, you know, awesome children, and my heart's desire is that the seed of faith that we have planted in them will grow and mushroom and blossom, praise God, where all of their life they'll know one thing for sure, God loves me, and I love him too. But that's a choice they have to make. See, as parents, you sow the seed. You water that seed. But they got to eventually embrace that thing. So the second key in leaving this Christ-like inheritance is be who you say you are. All right, I want everybody here, I'll give you permission to get some attitude. Come on, some of y'all good at attitude. So give me some attitude. Look at the person next to you and say, listen. Go ahead. Come on, shake the neck a little bit. Say, listen, be who you say you are. Now, heaven has you on record right now, at home too, with your hand lifted up like, yep, I belong to Jesus. Be who you say you are. One of the biggest issues we have in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is that we have a hard time being who we say we are. Now, listen, that's not a pressure for perfection. All right, that's not what this is. It's understanding, yes, we have some issues and we might mess it up from time to time. But listen, we ought to learn how to be quick to come back. I shared, you know, a couple of weeks ago, just while we were dealing with the fast, you know, I got in my feelings, got an attitude with my wife. You know, she was wrong again. And I was just, I'm just joking. She wasn't wrong. I'm probably going to pay for that later. But I got an attitude. I was wrong. And I had a choice. I had a choice in the moment to sit down and simmer in that thing. Like, come on, y'all know what I'm talking about. Like, I'm telling you, I'm tired of this. Come on, come on, y'all. And I said, you know what? Now, that's not face-to-face. God, I know that's not what you called me to. Honey, I just want to apologize. I was wrong. I got irritated because of some other stuff, and I responded to you that way. Please, forgive me. So when we talk about be who we say we are, that doesn't mean the sense of perfection. Listen, if you want a perfect church, you're in the wrong building. And I got news for you. In any other church building you go to, you're going to be in the wrong building. But it should be something about the church, those of us who say, yes, I belong to Christ, that when we do get off, we're quick to come back. Come on, say it with me. I'm quick to come back. Absolutely, praise God. Be exactly who you say you are. Preaching and teaching is one thing. However, living this gospel is the daily goal. Preaching and teaching is great. Being a great orator, all that kind of stuff, that's great. But what impresses God is a faithful life before him. Remember, we teach what we know, but we reproduce who we are. So when we talk about leaving this Christ-like inheritance, we have to be what we want to see. You got to be it. Come on, you want to see faith in your son and your daughter, you got to be it. Come on, you want to see patience in your son and your daughter, you got to be it. Come on, you want to see a sense of peace, you know, in the storm, you know, for your son and daughter, then you got to be it. Model it. There's tremendous power and impact in modeling. Cannot give away what we do not have. Third point is this, if we want to leave this Christ-like inheritance. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 through 9. This is what in Judaism is called the Shema. Shema. And it says in verse 4, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts." Now watch this next part. "Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates." Now listen, Orthodox Jews takes this extremely serious, where they put scriptures now, cards that they'll have, you know, on their heads. You know, years ago now, 5 years ago now, when I went to Israel, and I flew to Tel Aviv from New York, and about 3:30 in the morning, 50% of the huge airplane, this is a huge airplane now, this is, you know, the two-level things and all that kind of stuff. 50% of that aircraft, people start to move. They're getting up and positioning themselves to get in a place where they could pray as the sun is rising. And they would get, you know, their particular, you know, items where they would have the Word of God in their hands, and they put the Word of God card on their foreheads, and they're praying. I was just trying to get some sleep. They're praying. They're keeping it in front of them. And watch this. And this is what they model. They're modeling this. And therefore, their children begin to say, oh, okay. this encouragement here is something for you and I to impress God's word upon our children. So here's the point. I'll just make it simple this way. Make your faith experience the favorite subject in your home. Now, it's hard to do that if you don't have a faith experience. See, belonging to Christ does not equate a faith experience. You can be born again, but you have absolutely little experience in encounter with God. So if we can be candid, then things are not really real to you. It's a tradition that you are performing. The favorite subject in your home should be your faith experience. Come on now, not your favorite football team, basketball team, whatever the case may be. Yeah, I like football, I like basketball, I like all that stuff. But the favorite subject should be, look at what God is doing for us. Look how God's protected us. Oh, look how God brought us all back home together again. He's faithful. This should be the dominant conversation in the house. Listen, let's be clear. One of the biggest misnomers in Christendom is for parents to think you can take your child to church and they'll be somehow on fire for Jesus all their life. That's one of the biggest misnomers there is. Well, if taking them to church don't do it, what does it? You at home. See, now I was a youth pastor for many a year. And one thing about students, students would just tell it like it T-I-S-E is. So they'd be like, yeah, you know, daddy be up there singing, but y'all don't see what daddy do during the week. Mama shouting hallelujah, but you don't hear the words she shout when she get mad at me. And see, for kids, it ruins them. It ruins them because it's just like, okay, you're taking me to something, this tradition, but it really has no value because you don't live what you say. Make your faith experience the favorite subject in your home. But in order for that to be, you got to have it. You got to have it. Listen. I say this by the Spirit of God. I invite some of you to go back to 21 days. Go back to the 21 days of prayer and fasting. You didn't take it serious the first time. Go back. Everything is still up on the website. Go back. You can still catch your day of visitation. Let me give you two more very quickly. Psalm 1, verse 1 through 3. Says, blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked or stand in the way that sinners take or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit. And I'm saying some of that fruit is even, you know, our children. It yields its fruit in season. And whose leaf does not wither, whatever they do, it prospers. Listen, if you're going to leave a Christ-like inheritance, you have to avoid the contamination of ungodliness. And it's all around us. It's all around us. You get your gas tank, you know, if your car filled, maybe it takes, 20 gallons, you know, of gas. But in that 20 gallons of gas, if you get maybe out of the 20 gallons, let's just say this, you get 1 gallon of water, it's about to mess up your system. And that car is not going to drive the same. Now, you would think, I got 19 gallons of gas, 1 gallon of water, what's that going to do? That little bit will cause a great problem. And listen, we have to have mindset that, you know, it's not enough for us to have 99% Jesus. You know, but I'm gonna have this too. And then try to tie it to Jesus. I'm just gonna just leave this plain for here. But I want you to know those things that did not come from God now are ruining you with God. And your spiritual car not driving right. I don't know how many believers I've seen broken down on the side of the road. Just broke down. One minute that's like, yes, I love God, I love Jesus. And the next minute, it's like they never even had that. Come on, you've seen it. You've seen it. I'm gonna tell you what happened. There's some water in the tank. We didn't clear that out. And there's these spiritual influences that are always lurking to take advantage of us when we pull away from God. And I've talked to you this before, so I'm gonna come back to it here real soon. When you pull away from the church, you pull away from God. See, I know secularism tries to teach you that, well, you don't need the church to worship God. That's a lie. The church was Jesus' idea to help us grow, develop, to do his will and worship him. See, when you pull away from the church, you pull away from God. When you pull away from God, you pull away from the church. The two are inseparable. Now, that's the biblical insight on it. But see, we get this little gallon of water of, I don't have to have that. It messes up individual system. And you see it. I'm talking about believers on the side of the road. I'm talking about believers. I look up on social media and I'm just like, what in the world are you exposing? Believers out doing whatever. Whatever, just like whatever. And God loves me. Yes, you're right, he does. He sure does. But let's make no mistake about it. He's not happy with the choices you're making right now. We can talk a little bit, can we?
Yes.
Avoid this contamination of ungodliness. It's all around us, so you have to be intentional to resist. The last is just simply this. One of my absolute favorite passages of Scripture. Joshua 24, verse 14 to 15. Joshua's wrapping things up, and he's speaking to the crowd, and he says, now listen, now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. That's a pretty good encouragement. Throw away the gods your ancestors worshiped beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. So you got to throw the other stuff away. You have to intentionally stand against the old stuff. And it may be very, watch this, dear and significant in your family, but it didn't come from God. And Joshua says, get rid of that. What your ancestors worshiped beyond the Euphrates River and what you were exposed to in Egypt. Get rid of that. And then he makes a statement that is just like, okay, you're just being kind of just straightforward with him. He says, but if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Whether them little tired gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. He says, if serving God just doesn't seem like that's your cup of tea. He says, then go on out there then, you know, with the demonic forces that's been ruining your family up to this point. That's what he tells them. Go on and do it then. He says, but understand this about me and my house. We will serve the Lord. Come on now. He said, y'all can do whatever you want to do. If you want to go back and do what got you in trouble in the first place, go ahead and do it. But as for me and my house, everybody that live with me, everybody that's connected with me, everybody that's carrying this last name Crawford, we're going to serve God. That's what we're going to do. Now you go ahead and do whatever you want to do. This is how you leave a Christ-like inheritance. Be tenacious and uncompromising in your faith. And that's where Joshua was. Just like, y'all can do whatever y'all want to do. Y'all grown. But for me and my house, we're serving God. We're going to serve God. Whether it's popular or not. Whether people say that Christianity is black enough or not. We're going to serve God. Doesn't matter what anyone else says. And if that's what you want to choose, you're grown. You do that. But for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Come on, say it with me. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Now watch this. I'm gonna say this in here because I just feel led to. Don't make that declaration and then allow people to come into your house and do everything but serve the Lord. My wife and I, we made a declaration before we got married. Anybody that come to stay with us, we ain't going off to church on Sunday and you laying your behind in the bed. I'm on vacation. Yeah, well, so what? Let's go. Come on, get into the rest of the Lord then. As for me and my house, you do whatever you want to do. You grown, you go, hey, your house, that's your house. That's your house. If you come to my house, we got house rules. And the number one rule is, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Someone gave us a picture of that years ago. So when you come into the front door of our house, it's the first thing we really lay eyes on. Joshua, you know, chapter 24, verse 15. As for me and my house, we will serve. You do whatever you want in your house. But once you show up in this house, this is what we do. If you're going to leave a Christ-like inheritance, if you're going to turn the tide of some things that's been pressing your family and struggling, making your family struggle, these are the intentional things you got to do. You got to get tenacious and uncompromising with your faith. And I get it. Some people are going to think, oh, you're just being so fanatical now, which is amazing to me because people are fanatical about all kinds of stuff. Do you see these people at these games? Huh? I mean, like, what? Come on now. Up in Buffalo a couple of weeks ago. Yeah, I mean, it's like 0 degrees. And you got individuals up there with no shirts on and paint on their bodies, you know. Go Bills. So you want to look at me funny when I say, as for me in my house, we serve the Lord? Y'all got the definition of crazy wrong. In the name of Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, there's very real spiritual influence. There's godly spiritual influence. Come on, you have angels that are assigned to you, protecting you, that are available to you. But again, there's also demonic forces that are assigned to you, trying to pull you away from what God has for you and your family. Put your foot down and say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I can't control anybody else, but this house, this is what we do. Please lift up two hands unto heaven with me. Come on, say this out loud with me. Father, my heart's desire is to be who I say I am. I'm yours. So help me to transform more every day to be just like you. I understand I'm under construction. So help me to be patient with myself and with others. But Father, I commit to you today that serving you is the joy of my life. It's not undesirable. This is the greatest thing ever. So I declare before you, all of the earth and every demon in hell, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Come on, one more time. As for me and my house, every day, every we will serve the Lord. Somebody give God praise for that then. Hallelujah. Father, we will serve you. We'll give you our absolute best. Father, we thank you for your mercy and your grace and your patience with us. Daddy, you've been faithful to us all of our lives. Ah, Father, we're so glad that you're just not like us. Because I would have given up on me a long time ago. Yeah. But your faithfulness, yeah, it just will not relent. So thank you, sir. So we commit to stay right here before you face to face, sir. To live before you this way and to keep growing. We speak to every foul demonic spirit that would attempt to attach itself to our family line. We curse you at the root and we say, get out. You don't belong here. There's a new sheriff in town. His name is Jesus. And Lord Jesus, I yield to you. Have your way in our family. Bless our children. Help them to grow up, Father, with a passionate faith in you, where they're tenacious and uncompromising in their stands. That years from now, they'll say as well, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We thank you, sir, and give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Please keep your heads bowed just for a moment. Every head bowed, every eye closed. All of this starts from the premise of belonging to Christ. So if you're out there, here, online, you can't say with confidence and a surety that you belong to God, I want to pray for you. I want to pray with you. Listen, I don't wish this upon anyone, but this is the reality. If you were to breathe your last breath in the next 10 minutes, can you say with a certainty that you would go to spend eternity in the presence of God? If you can't, I want to pray for you, and I want to pray with you so you can start the process of leaving a Christ-like inheritance in your family. You may not have any children, but you got people that are watching you. You can impact them for Jesus. So if that's you, you desire my prayers, you want to get in on this awesome relationship with God, would you just lift up one hand under heaven right there where you are? I'll be glad to pray for you and with you. Come on, right at home, lift up your hand there. Stretch it up high. I want to pray for you. I want to pray with you. And in particular, you can put your hands down there at home in particular, because I can't see you. But I do want you to do this. If you raise your hand, take this next step. In the chat, you can just type one simple word, decided. Just type that into the chat. Or you can text the word decided to the number that you'll see, you know, come up on your screen. You do that as well. We'll send you a link to a devotional just to help you in the decision that you've made here today. We encourage you. We love you. We're rooting for you in Jesus' name. Now let's all do this. Everyone together. At home, present as well. Lift up two hands again under heaven. This is where our help comes from. Say it out loud with me. Father God, thank you again for your amazing love, giving to me your absolute best, Jesus. My Lord, my Savior, my Master, my King, my everything. I turn my back on sin. I throw away the gods of my ancestors, and I embrace you and you alone. Thank you for embracing me and making me your own. Amen and amen. Thank you, Lord God, for that now. We bless you and honor your wonderful name. Amen. Listen, if you